1-800-449-8686. Now, Bill Henry.
Jay Santos joins us with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So we have the debates coming up on Thursday night, and the entire country, it seems, is in anticipation of these debates. They may be the most watched presidential debates in history, and certainly the voter registration is up.
I was going to say, Phil, yeah, voter registration is way up from what we've been seeing. So it's and certainly with the debates coming up on Thursday night, any hope, any high-profile event is always something you look at for terror strikes.
Now, the debates are going to be held in Miami, so the threat would be localized, correct?
Well, that is not necessarily our experience. Our experience is the terrorists would most likely strike in any non-specific area. The reason is fairly obvious. Terrorists will strike to confuse the American people at the time of the debate so they can't keep their mind focused on the issues being discussed. In the mind of the terrorist, of course, they will then cast an uninformed ballot. One of the things that's kind of tough for me in law enforcement is I'm personally going to vote for Senator Kerry, knowing, you know, personally, just I'm speaking between you and I, that a terrorist strike would most likely help Senator Kerry get elected, but I still have to do my job as law enforcement, and
well, I would hope that no matter what a police officer's political persuasion is.
Well, that's it exactly.
I know. I want people to be clear. You're the head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is a volunteer neighborhood patrol of some kind.
Well, no, we are uniform. I think that sort of oversimplifies it. We are uniform. We have citizens arrest powers, and the police have in the past. I think we've all seen that the police do have problems maintaining credibility. Some of these reports of police abuse and what have you. So we felt it necessary to form a group that monitored the police activity, make sure the job's getting done right.
Well, what are you going to be focusing on primarily then? You know?
Well, the first thing that anyone will tell you, from Tom Ridge's office all the way on down the line to our field sub-commanders and substation commandants, you look for anything that presents itself as a target. Anything that's overt and inviting to someone with a terrorist mindset. So our flare drops, you and I were talking about, Phil, are designed to funnel traffic down to one lane. Our sub-commanders then do a once-over look at the car and the occupants. And
now, these flare drops, you drop flares that gradually funnels the traffic down from three or four lanes?
Yeah, right, all the way down to one lane. And then at that time, we just do a very quick once-over of the car. We're not taking up people's time. Anything that what we're looking for, Phil, is a terrorist target. That can be an American flag decal, which is very much a target. Certainly American flags that are flown from windows present a target. You often see a Marine Corps decal on certain cars. License plate frames prevent drivers being a veteran of someone. Involve POW MIA question.
So you're looking for cars that have American flag decals, this kind of things, that bespeak things that are fairly patriotic then?
Well, these are people, yes, that are, you know, patriotic. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in patriotism. I think it has its place. I also think it's prudent at this time that during the week of the debates that we don't present these kinds of provocations. So that's what we're going to be doing. And
all right. Well, if you're going to be looking at cars with American flag decals, Marine Corps decals, American flags, anything that might provoke terrorists, if you see that, what are you doing exactly? Are you asking the people to remove it? Or
well, what we're suggesting is, we take a peek around the car. If we do see something like that, we do at that time request that the item do be discarded. We do have receptacles at the site. If it's a decal, like a flag or a Marine Corps decal, it's not a problem. We have a very small light razor blade. You can lift the decal off the car body or window without any damage, and then you're free to go on your way.
So you're going to be peeling the decals and taking the flags?
That is correct, yes, sir.
A lot of people probably are going to be curious, would a terrorist attack a car with a flag?
No, what the terrorists do is, we have heard a lot of chatter that seems to indicate that terrorists would most likely strike in areas where there's a very high concentration of individuals who are possible George Bush supporters, and those would be people who tend to fly American flags in their car and so on, and that might be an area where they might strike. If they do see a high concentration of these flags and decals and whatnot and so on, well, then that, of course, gives an indication that might be an area.
You know, given the fact that you're not an official police agency, but a volunteer group, many people may not want you to, take the decal off the car. I mean, you're talking about taking a razor blade and lifting off a decal.
No, it's completely non-invasive. There's no damage to the car, and you make the point about us being auxiliary. This is a national security. We are a volunteer neighborhood. We're the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This national security, as such, it does preempt auxiliary status.
But you're not an actual police agency.
Well, but again, I want to repeat, national security preempts auxiliary status. We go around-the-clock flare drop. There's too much chatter right now for us not to be prudent at this time.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer neighborhood police group, and there are a number of these around the country.
That is correct. And these auxiliary groups will be doing their own flare drops prior to the debates.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, if you have a flag decal on your car, if you have a Marine Corps decal on your car, I've seen these, as you mentioned, Jay, these license plate frames that say I'm a POW supporter.
Well, some of these guys, you see, they have the license plate frames, because I'm a veteran. And from my law enforcement status, and based on the chatter we've been hearing, and Tom Ridges spoke about, you put a license plate frame on your car that says I'm a veteran, and you're almost saying to a terrorist, would you please blow my car up with a rocket-propelled grenade? I mean,
see, that's the thing. I don't want people to get the idea.
I don't want anyone to get scared. But you got to understand, in these times where there are terrorists, I think it makes sense if you think about it. You drive around with a license plate frame that says "I'm a veteran" or "God bless America," and you're basically saying to any terrorist in the vicinity or any terrorist that we've been monitoring on a subspace chatter, "Would you please just blow me up," or what have you. And certainly don't want to see that happen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show here. Now, you're talking about this chatter that we hear so much about.
That's correct.
I hear the president, or I hear a lot of people say, well, the chatter, we've heard the FBI uses this term, chatter. What does that mean? I mean, in my mind, it's like, is it cell phone or radio transmissions?
Well, it can be. Chatter that the Homeland Security Office is referring to is simply what station chiefs and station operatives may overhear in a restaurant. We're talking about CIA. So we are talking about the company, and we are talking about what they may overhear in a restaurant or in some of the public meeting rooms in the Middle East. You could be in a hotel having a drink, and you may overhear a conversation, sharing a drink with something, or you may be, a lot of times, yeah, it's almost like something out of a movie, but it does happen. You might be buying a rug or a turban or something in a, you're a tourist in one of those Middle East marketplaces, and you hear one of these guys talk about, well, you know, he'll blow somebody up or some deal. So that's kind of the chatter that you hear. And
so this is human beings overhearing this.
That's correct. These are deep cover operatives who may be, as I say, you know, pretending like they're a business person, for instance. They're at a party at an embassy, or they are out having a drink with a lovely lady, and perhaps she is the press liaison for a foreign embassy, or perhaps what have you. You know, so like I said, they're standing there in one of those deals. My wife went to Egypt with her church group about 3 years ago, and they went down to this place you could buy these rugs and all this kind of deal. And you hear one of these guys, you know, and I don't know if you've ever seen one of these movies, you know, Effendi, you know, the infidel is coming or some deal like that. Well, you pick up a lot of things from what these here people say. And that's the kind of chatter.
So it's just stuff that's overheard in restaurants and bars and...
And some of the radio transmissions, exactly. And what we're hearing right now, again, I don't want to make any of your listeners afraid or nothing like that, but we are hearing that there are terrorists who are very interested in some sort of a large event. They will target areas that have a high patriotic concentration, if you will. So if there is an area of the country where you do see a lot of these American flag flying from a car deal, or you see the American flag decal kind of situation, or you see the Marine Corps, anything that...
What are these, like police benevolent...
Anything like that. We advise you to remove it from your car, and certainly our flare drops, we will remove it from the car.
There are people who may not want you to do that, is what I'm saying.
Well, in what way?
I mean, if I'm a guy and I got a Marine Corps decal on my truck, let's say, and I don't want you to take it off, and you got a razor blade ready to peel my Marine Corps decal off, because you're not, what I'm saying, you're not an official police agency.
Well, we're talking about national security. We're trying to save lives. You want to get into kind of nitpicking, you know, well, do you have the authority? That's like asking, do you have the authority to go into a home that's burning to the ground and get a baby out? You know, I could go into a home burning to the ground and get a baby out. And you might ask, what authority do I have? We're simply doing this.
Yeah, but what if they object? I'm giving you the straight...
Well, if they object, it's basically for their own protection from a terrorist and that kind of a situation. But if they object, then that kind of takes it to another level. And certainly we do have to deal with that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. a volunteer neighborhood police patrol. They say they are sort of picking up where the police may blow it or may not be doing their job right. In any event, with the debates coming up, the country may be prone to some kind of a terror event. They are peeling off any kind of American flag decal, any kind of Marine Corps sticker. I'm sure you see U.S. Army, whatever, anything that bespeaks a sort of Americanism. They are removing from cars that they're stopping at a variety of flare drops that they're doing. And the flare drop is basically did he tell you, Chris, what a flare drop, how they do that? They just drop the flare from a truck and then they funnel everything down to one lane. 1-800-449-8686. How willing are you to, give up your American flag decal or your Marine Corps decal to protect your city? 1-800-449-8686, or your country for that matter. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk about the flare drops they're going to be doing to try and remove high-profile terrorist targets, and that is American flag decals, Marine Corps decals, anything that bespeaks anything really overtly American from cars they're going to be taking off of cars. You know who this Jennifer Keese is? Jay, do you know that name, Jennifer Keese?
Certainly do so.
Okay, she said that you had stopped her car and took a Bush Cheney bumper sticker.
No, I'm very much familiar with Ms. Keese, yes.
Okay, why did you take a Bush Cheney bumper sticker off her car?
Because, Phil, the Bush Cheney bumper sticker is a red, white, and blue bumper sticker. As such, it replicates the color and the look of the flag, especially when looked at from a distance. And we did, at that time, decide and perceive that it was a terrorist target. So, it's not that we have anything against Bush or Cheney, but we do have to remove those bumper stickers because they have...
Well, she said that you removed it with a razor blade, and it wasn't a very good job.
Well, you know, look, I don't work for Earl Scheib Auto Body. Yeah, I'm not doing all that specialized work. I'm trying to tell you, we're trying to keep people alive. So you want to get specialized work, you got to take it over to Earl Scheib Paint Body, what have you. But
she said you peeled the bumper sticker off and left half of it on there.
That is correct, sir. But we did not damage the car. That's what I'm saying. We do not damage the car. We basically peeled it off, and we let her go on her way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Robert?
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
I'll tell you what. This guy here, he goes around peeling flags, American flags off of people's vehicles. Somebody's going to beat the tar out of him. I know... I would if he tried to take my flag off or tried to...
Well, sir, I certainly don't want to cause any kind of a confrontation with a citizen. What we are trying to do is protect the lives of citizens by making sure...
How do you call that protection when you're taking our rights away from us? I'm a veteran, bud.
Yes, sir.
And I proudly got a license tag, a veteran's tag, and I proudly display that. Now, how do you figure you're protecting me by trying to take that off? That sounds like some kind of a socialist thing.
Well, sir, I'm not. First of all, what were you a veteran of what, sir?
I was in the U.S. Army.
Did you see action, sir?
Yeah, well, I can't discuss that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sure. This guy's a nut.
Well, what do you say is a nut?
Well, I can't discuss that.
You know. I was in the 1st 75th Ranger Battalion. That's all I can really tell you.
Well, you could make it up. Say you're like in Russia or some deal like that. Yeah,
no, sir, I was in South America.
He wasn't in Russia. First of all, Robert, I want to ask you, you are a veteran. You have what? Do you have an Army sticker, a veteran sticker, something like that?
Yes, sir,
all right.
I do.
Robert, all I'm trying to do is you survived combat to come back to this wonderful country of ours. Now, why do you want to drive around basically with a big sticker on saying, hi, if you're a terrorist, please put C4... under my engine block. I mean, because that's... Well, you can laugh about it if you want to.
You're funny because...
Why
is it going to happen? You're a nut.
You are asking terrorists all over the world to come to the United States at a time when we are having our debates, blow something up or cause all kinds of, you know, this kind of nonsense. And the next thing you know, people can't concentrate on the debates. They cast an uninformed vote.
You know, dude, you sound like a
and then John Kerry
like a wannabe cop.
Sure.
That's going around trying to do, you know, you sound like a socialist.
All right, you need to back.
This is the United States of America.
You may have survived.
We fought for our freedom to fly our flags on our cars, on our homes.
Sir, why would you want to keep
not
the detail
on your balls like you trying to take them off? And
so you need to back up just a step. You need to back up a step here now. Why would you have survived combat only to come back here to America, keep a decal on your car, and force me to take it to the next level? And I don't want to do that.
You ain't going to do it. That's what I'm telling you. You're going to get pummeled. You try to take my
Jay. What do you mean take it
flag off of mine? Or my license tag off of my vehicle? I'm going to pummel you,
sir. You need to back up two steps. You know, keep your hands off of me, and let's talk about this. Now,
I'm just telling you. You know, I'm just telling you the facts.
I know
there's probably millions of Americans that feel as passionate as I do.
The problem is, if I could jump in, is that you don't have the legal authority, Jay.
Mr. Randall, you have said that over and over. You are wrong. I have citizens' arrest power. National security.
I have citizens' arrest power.
Well,
I'm
not doing nothing wrong. I'm going
to
arrest
you if you touch my vehicle.
Okay. You want to take it to the next level, well, you know, there's an easy way and a hard way.
Yeah, the hard way is going to be if you try to take my flags off my vehicle or my license tag, you're going to end up in the hospital. You're going to have the hard way done to you, my friend.
All right, Robert, thank you for your call.
These threats, though.
Well, Robert, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
First of all, that gentleman sounds as if he is native of the southeastern portion of our country. More as likely as not, he has a Confederate flag on his car, not an American flag, and as such, would not be the target of a vehicle implosion. But he's sounding like he's all, you know, upset about this and that and something else. And I'm saying that we are simply going to try and protect cars and the lives of human beings the best way we can.
Because he has a Confederate flag, the terrorists won't attack?
Well, I'm just saying it's not a symbol. The terrorists, a lot of these, you know, these ragheads, what do you want to call them? I don't think they even know what that is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, how you doing? I appreciate you taking me.
Yes, sir.
Well, the thing I want to really say is taking decals off of patriotic symbols will not stop anything whatsoever. If they want to pick a specific target, they're going to hit that target, regardless of what you do.
What about the chatter? We've been hearing chatter.
You're hearing chatter?
Yes, sir. There is chatter at the Homeland Security level, there's chatter at the CIA level, indicate that they do want a terrorist strike of some kind. It could happen during the debate season, and that they would strike a high concentration of so-called Bush supporters, patriot supporters. And you see these guys driving around, they got all kind of flag and everything. All they're saying is, I'm an American, and I hope you kill me before I get home to my children. We don't want that to happen.
Of course we don't want that to happen, but you got to just keep in mind that the chatter, the propaganda that people are listening to, when the terrorists want to strike, when someone wants to kill you, they're going to kill you.
Well,
they're not going to decide not to kill you because you don't, okay, he doesn't have an American flag. You're still in America. What difference does it make?
Well, they're more prone to leave you alone if you don't have a sticker of some kind. The chatter is what I'm talking about, Scott.
You talking about stuff that they're hearing on the line? So you're telling me they're actually hearing people?
Hey, Scott, tell you what, hold the line for a minute. This is Phil Henry. We'll be right back with Jay Sanos and the rest of your calls. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. Jay is talking with us about doing flare drops. Describe again a flare drop and the fact that you are taking American flag stickers, American flags off of cars, because during this debate season we could have a terror strike and those would be a likely target.
Correct, Phil. Basically, our flare drop is Subcommander Paulson and Subcommander Robinson went out last night and gradually just dropped flares from the back of a flatbed truck that we borrowed from his wife. That was actually borrowed from Subcommander Robinson's wife. And Subcommander Paulson sat in the back of the flatbed truck and just dropped the flares, and then we funneled traffic down to one lane. We're out right now, as a matter of fact. So we've got up to 25 different flare drop locations here in this area, and we're planning a few more around the country. Basically, what we're asking people to do, and I understand that people feel that this is repressive, but I think if they understand the meaning of it, why make yourself a target for a terrorist or some nonsense like that? You put a bumper sticker on your car. Bush Cheney has, they do use red, white, and blue. We have nothing against President Bush. We don't think that he's going to be a bad president. But we do feel that the use of the red, white, and blue color.
But you're not taking off Kerry stickers.
What's that, Phil?
You're not taking off John Kerry stickers.
They do not use that color arrangement. Come on. Have a nice evening, then. See, people are letting us peel stickers off their cars, and I had a lady shake my hand when I explained to her that she had a van full of children. She was going home, taking her children home, cook them a hot meal, a bowl of soup or some deal like that. I said, well, do you want to have these children be endangered by terrorism? And she said, certainly not. I said, well, we would like you to remove that sticker. We did take a sticker off. A lot of these stickers, my kid is an honor student, that kind of thing. That's also something that will provoke a terrorist into wanting to just, you know, attack you. So that's all we're doing. Hold on for a minute. And so that's what we're saying.
What is that?
Yeah, those are just, what we're basically trying to do is move the traffic along right now. Hold on. So, that's what we're trying to do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, not an official police agency.
Well, Phil, I really wish you would not say that because...
Well, you're not an official police agency.
But we do have the right, constitutional right of arrest, national security override.
All right, let me go over to Addie. Hi, Addie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I have a license plate on my car. I have it on my car. I'll also say that the gentleman doesn't have a right creating a traffic hazard and is going to cause accidents. He does not have the right to touch people's cars and take any kind of sticker off.
It's national security,
ma'am. Our national anthem says, by the dawn's early light, bombs bursting inside came proof to the night that our flag was still there. Well, our flag was still there when our nation was born, and my flag's
right,
going to be
down,
on
ma'am.
My car.
Calm down.
It's going to be at my business. Our family,
down,
a lot
ma'am.
Of them fly the flags,
I need for you
and
to
we
take
have
two
the
steps
cars,
back.
And he does not have the right.
Well, ma'am, you
this
need to
is a nation of free.
Take a breath.
We are a free nation. We can have stickers on our cars. And if he's afraid of terrorists,
well,
then
yeah,
he better go find him a bomb shelter and dig in and get in because terrorists may be coming, but the
hold
people
on.
Who have backbone and courage is going to fly their flags.
I got to put her on hold. She won't. Did you have something you want to say, Jay?
Well, the woman is obviously, she's emotionally distraught, and I certainly don't want to upset her anymore. She sounds as if she may have some issues because you could hear that she was running on a little bit. I think that most of what she's saying is typical of motorists who don't understand the California Vehicle Code or Penal Code of the United States of America. I do have the right as a citizen to stop vehicles and to check to make sure there isn't anything that could be provocative in terms of national security. And at that time, then, of course, I will, then I will let her go on her merry way.
Let me see if Addie is still... Addie, are you there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had to put you on hold because we couldn't get your attention.
Sorry.
You want to say that again, Jay?
Addie, all I was saying was I need for you to calm down and to take a deep breath. I know that you probably have all kinds of nonsense on your car, and that's fine. All I'm saying is if you have that American flag bumper sticker, I'm going to have to peel it off.
You're not going to peel anything off
of my
car.
I have to take a razor blade to it. I'm afraid I do.
You're not going to take you to court and sue you. I will sue you. If you try to touch my car, I will sue you.
Man, this is national security. It's a national security. I'm afraid I'm going
to
have to take it.
A lot of people sue you.
Ma'am.
And I'll sue you for a traffic hazard, too.
Ma'am, I will. I'm going to have to take you. I've got to take your bumper sticker, and I have to take away your
American
flag, too.
American flag. We have the right to do this.
Are you?
You do not have the right to
drive it. Are you qualified to drive it?
You have the right to American citizens for... to make arrests. You stop
what?
Me and try to take anything off my
well,
car, I will make a citizen arrest of you.
I will
call 911 and make a citizen arrest of you.
Okay, after a while, it's a little tiring. Let's move on to Stanley. Go ahead, Stanley.
See, Phil, that is an example of an overwrought individual who's
Hello.
Just begging for a terrorist to just cut her throat and leave her in the street.
Go ahead, Stanley.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if this man attempts to scrape off my Americanism,
I need a razor.
I will
pull
his ass so seriously.
Right.
I won't even try to arrest him. I'm just going to kick his ass.
You
ain't going to touch
well,
my car.
Stanley, better bring
your
lunch for that one.
I have a right to be an American. I have a right to display my Americanism. And if you even try to touch my car, your ass is grass. That's all I got to say.
Let's move that bumper sticker off that corner.
Can you say something, Stanley? All right. So Stanley's gone, too. 1-800-4... What is that sound?
All right, we got an alert, alert, alert. I got a bumper sticker in lane 2. All right, we're okay.
I got to ask you...
Well, Mr. Herring, you know, you and your listeners may find this amusing, but I can tell you right now, that lady Addie that I spoke with, the lady that wouldn't shut up, she's the kind of woman that a terrorist would just cut her throat and drop her right into the Seine River, right outside of Paris. Just be something floating down the river. People probably think it's a baguette or some deal like that. It's kind of nonsense.
1-800-449-8686. Michael, go ahead. Michael?
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Phil Henry, I'm sorry, man. I was listening to what he was saying about the baguette. I was laughing at myself.
You may find it funny, sir, but there's a lot of Americans who are going to be...
I think it's really silly what you're doing. I think you just, you're in violation of civil rights, and everybody has a right to speak their mind. And
not during times of national security. No, sir, you do not. During times of national security, you have to shut up and just get off the streets.
Well, we have a right to speak and say whatever we want. How about I use my civil rights to stop you from doing whatever you're doing because I feel you're in danger of other citizens.
Well, I'm not trying to blow you up. How am I trying to blow you up?
No, how about I use my civil rights to arrest you or to restrain you from the threat of other citizens because of what you're doing.
I'm trying to keep you from becoming about 250 pounds of hamburger.
Well, I'm trying to prevent you from getting run over by another citizen who you're trying to peel stickers off the car.
You know, you take a
look. If you try to peel a Marine Corps sticker off.
Well, let me tell you about these jarheads. You know, they're not as tough as they look. you say what you want, but I'll tell you this right now. A terrorist hits your car with an RPG, well aimed, shoulder mounted, from about 350 yards, and they won't even know where to begin to look for you.
A minute ago, you said that the terrorists aren't targeting individual cars. Now you're saying if I've got a bumper sticker with an American flag on it on my car, a terrorist is going to take me out with an RPG? Where is this guy anyway?
Phil, they could be anywhere. Rooftops, inside of a home, inside of another car, on a front lawn.
Phil.
They could look like they're watering their lawn, and they turn around and they'll hit you.
Phil, you know who I really think he is? He's just an advocate for the Kerry campaign.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Jay, a lot of the things...
Hold on for me, Phil.
I got a bumper sticker.
And see, there's a bumper sticker over there. Look at it. There goes one under it. See? It's a bumper sticker right there. Get over and do something about it. Now, I'm trying to get the guys organized. We got bumper stickers there, the American flag here, American flag there.
Boy, I can't believe you're finding that many American flag bumper stickers because after the 9/11, I saw a lot of them, and they just kind of they dried up and went away.
Well, I'm in a certain part of the city here. I'm in the North County. But I can tell you right now, Phil, you can have a terrorist try to strike you from any part of the city, be it on a front lawn, like I was saying, or walking a dog, all sense of terrorist. Say you see a woman in tight capri pants, big pink wig, all of a sudden she pulls out an RPG and blows you half to hell. Then you're going to thank me.
Yeah, man, I'll see that real soon.
Hey, did anybody think 9/11 was going to happen? No, they didn't. So if you see some chick walking down the street and she's got on spray-on tight pants and big spike heels, she's walking a big fat poodle, all you can do is look at her butt area. Next thing you know, she turns around, she's got a shoulder-mounted stinger. Take your head clean off. Then you'll thank me.
Look, all right, I guess you're making...
Darn right, I'm making a point.
Let's go over here to Robert. Hi, Robert, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, Mr. Henry, the gentleman there, the police wannabe, he sounds like
he's
a terrorist.
He's a police wannabe.
He's terrifying everybody. He's frightening them. He's trying to get on people's private property, which a vehicle is a private property.
Well, first
and
of all,
damage
sir, what I'm trying to do is protect people's lives from getting blown
what,
up.
By terrorizing them? Scaring them, saying that they're targeted?
That's
because
correct,
they
sir.
Have a disabled veterans tag on their car?
Well, John
or
Kerry
a
flag, says we're not safe.
Or
John
Kerry
says we're not safe, so I'm...
Is anybody listening to anybody tonight, or should we even be doing a show? Robert, are you there?
Yeah.
Are you guys listening to each other?
I don't know what he's doing. He's talking.
You're both talking, and nobody's having a conversation on this show. So what are we going to do? Are we going to talk or are we not going to talk?
Look, this guy has got it all wrong. Number one, John Kerry said we're not safe, and I'm voting for Kerry.
Well,
okay?
That's
so I don't
fine.
Know what kind of a dream
not,
world you're living in.
We are not
the
talking
thing,
about
the guy
who's voting
well, you guys,
who?
Quit talking
we're
over each other.
We're not talking about who's voting
for
who.
Tell me that.
You are talking about
you're saying that I was
going to...
Oh, my
property.
God.
No, I'm saying that I'm going to razor blade a sticker off of the rear window
that
of your car.
That is damaging private
wow.
property. You
big
are terrifying the individual.
Well, what are you going to have a cow for it, man? I mean, come on, what, you have a cow?
No, I'm not having a cow. I'm just saying that you are a terrorist. You are terrifying people.
What? Buddy, you know something? A terrorist is one of these guys with a beard and a rag on his head.
No,
it's going to fly a plane into a building.
A terrorist can be anybody that frightens people, that terrifies them, and that's what you're doing. You're terrifying people. You're saying, okay, if you have a flag or if you were a veteran, you are targeted, and that's wrong. Those
okay,
people
well.
In those people in the towers did not have flags flying from their windows, and they got targeted.
Wait a second. They were in an American Airlines. Get it?
No, no. I'm talking
yeah,
about the towers.
No, yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
talking
yeah,
about
yeah,
the airplane.
Yeah. American Airlines.
Turn
I got
around
you.
For yourself.
I got you. No, I twisted you around.
No, no. You twisted yourself
quit
around.
Quit being a spaz. You're having a cow and you're going bananas.
No, see? Then you start insulting people.
No, but you're just acting like a spaz.
No, I'm not.
Well, sure.
You're a terrorist. You're terrifying people.
How do you figure I'm a terrorist?
You're terrifying
you're
people.
You're sitting over there having a cow.
Will you knock it off with having a cow?
The organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers.
Or the citizens auxiliary police.
These
savvy?
Stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Hey, dude, you're being a real geek. Why don't you mellow out and get your groove on, man? You savvy?
That's all you can do is terrify
no,
people and insult
well,
them, right?
Quit being goofy, a turkey.
Savvy?
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I do the splits over an egg, then I do a somersault into an open watermelon.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We want to thank Jay Santos, and we hope that he is able to do his flare drop without getting his ass kicked, as I heard his life being threatened at least three or four times during that segment. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, a flashback with Margaret Gray from yesterday's show. She heard Senator Kerry disrespected by a person in a department store. The person said that Senator Kerry looks like he has a pole up his rear end. Margaret thought that it was very bigoted. Here's Margaret.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Margaret, I want to tell you that I am so sorry that I have to say this to you, but you typify the snobbish New Yorker that you are.
Where are you from, dear?
I'm from California,
oh,
and
well, that,
I live
no,
in one of the most beautiful places
that
in the world. And you need to stay in New York.
You know,
because people like
you know,
who have this attitude, like you actually look down your nose in a condescending way towards other Americans. The only reason why you are free to speak in this country is because of other Americans. The Americans, like people like your father, who fought, you could look down your nose at the rest of us.
No, I don't look down my nose. I just
like people.
Well, you
like
made the comment. You said that
Margaret,
you know New York is a great place.
And you did use the word bitch.
I most certainly did not.
You use that word constantly, rube. Like, what are you? Are you the queen? Did somebody just die and make you queen? And you can
I come from New York City. It is a very special place.
He looks like a drug dealer, and then come off by saying that you can say that in front of a classroom of children, and they'll be fine with that. That is the most disrespectful thing you can say to our president.
But you can say about him that he looks like a drug dealer, and you can't say stick up the butt in front of children.
He does not look like a drug dealer, and that is totally disrespectful. You need to go to another country or start your own.
All right, hold on, hold on.
The rules that you live by are not the rules that the rest of us live by.
You know what you look like to me,
Francis? But you need to
move. You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube.
I'm not a rube.
Yes, a good nutrition has given you length of bone, but you're
not
too far removed from two generations of poor white trash.
I'm well-traveled.
Oh, how the boys found you, Francis. With all their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars, and all you wanted to do was get out. Get anywhere. Get all the way.
I really don't think anyone's going to be willing to take...
Oh, fly away.
All right,
hold on, ladies.
No, I already said the thing that I said about her being a rube. I have nothing more to say.
I am not a rube. I grew up
in Tokyo. You're not a well-scrubbed hustling rube.
I am not a rube.
You grew up in Tokyo.
I grew up in Tokyo. All right, so I am not a rube or I'm not a hick, okay?
Well, here's something that'll make you feel at home.
It's bigger than New York, okay?
Francis, can I ask you something seriously?
More sophisticated than you, New York.
Hold on, we got it. What did you say, Margaret?
I want to ask Francis something. You're from Tokyo, correct?
I grew up in
Tokyo. When you see a mushroom cloud, does that make you feel at home? I'm just kidding. What I really want to say is...
That's as tasteless as anything I've heard ever. To say that to a caller.
What?
When you see a mushroom cloud, does it make you feel at home?
She's been going on about how Senator Kerry has a pole up his rear end.
No, you need to take a pole up your rear end. Somebody needs to stick one up your rear end so you know what it looks like.
Can I ask you something?
Okay?
Growing up in Japan, do you have Mr. Spock hair?
I don't need to get personal.
Yeah, it's really.
You know, I know
Francis.
Lots of New Yorkers, and most of them are typical of what
here's
you're
what,
like.
Here's what's going to prove my point. What part of California are you from?
Central California, the most beautiful area.
When they come from farm belt land,
no,
they always put down
true.
The big city people.
I live near Santa Barbara. Bitch.
Well, that's real big city, Santa Barbara. What do they got?
Yeah,
you can
it
spit,
is, and you know what?
You
we're
can
not
spit
a bunch
from one city limit to the next.
We're not a bunch of hicks out here. Okay,
you know, just because you run out every Friday and get your Mo Howard bowl haircut doesn't mean I've got to sit here and be insulted.
Excuse me, I get my haircut in Sausalito. Do you know where that is?
Isn't that some little burg outside of that tiny little town?
It's in Marin County outside of San Francisco, one of the most liberal cities in the country. But you should know that.
Let me ask you something, Francis.
You are so sophisticated.
Coming from Japan, do you have good peripheral vision?
You're
with that?
So sophisticated. You don't need to go into my history. I'm telling you, I am not a hick. Like you think
no,
everyone else
is. I will tell you
is.
This much. Coming from New York City, you expect a certain kind of decorum, a certain
Listen,
kind of culture.
Listen, I've worked on Wall
a certain
Street.
Kind of
all right, just so you know, I'm not unfamiliar with New York.
And listen to some hick from God knows where say that Miss Francis, not only Mo, but Larry Fine both got haircut in Sausalito, so I wouldn't be proud of that.
All right, look.
What are you proud of?
I'm proud of the fact that I will cast a vote for John Kerry, a man who I think was slandered today in a department store in New York City by some rube coming out of the holler.
Right.
Yeah,
and
all right.
You can determine who's making a... Did you just fart?
I'm sorry.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up this hour, we are going to have a new feature called Tackle Time with Jonas Grumby, a deep sea fisherman bit. We'll also have a new feature, Gene Klein, professional ass kisser, on how to make your way through the professional world. And, of course, Home Building with Chester Shunt returns this evening. Now, I want to mention tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley will be on in our third hour, and here's why. We are going to have a taped best of hour, our first hour. Now, when I say we're going to have a taped or best of hour, our best of hours are worthy of repeat. There are a lot of shows that run best ofs. They say, well, this is the best of the Harving Farnsworth show or something, or the Irving Farquhar presentation, and it's just the guy mumbling about something. But, you know, the things we do in our show we think are like, you know, kind of classic things that we want to redo. So we're going to run an hour of a really solid, classic Phil Hendry hour, and then we're going to In fact, it's going to be either Doug Danger or Steve Bozell. And then Doug Danger, the gay man and the gay journalist, or Steve Bozell, who, by the way, is running for president on the platform Vote for Me or I'll Sue You. And then at 8 o'clock, we will have post-debate storytelling, post-debate story time with Phil. And then at 9 o'clock, Bobby Dooley will be on. So Bobby is usually on in our 8 o'clock, or in our second hour, I should say, on Thursday night. She will be featured in our third hour tomorrow night.
That little program note.
Shaq angrily denies Kobe payoff allegations. Shaquille O'Neal and his agent have angrily denied that O'Neal had paid women up to $1 million to stay silent about sexual encounters as former Laker teammate Kobe Bryant related to police detectives in Bryant's initial interrogation about his alleged rape in Colorado. Now, Bryant told police, according to sealed documents, that got unsealed. This case, this Kobe Bryant case, there ain't nothing sealed about this case at all. I bet you they don't even have locks on the restroom doors around that place. You got that attorney that worked for Bryant yammering the name of the woman that accused him in court, even after she was told five times by that limp judge not to do it. You got the prosecutor's office and people who work for the court being paid off by Pamela Mackey to leak her information. I don't care if she sues me. I hope she does, which she never would. She wouldn't have the guts. She wouldn't have the guts to give me free publicity, would she? She would. Anyway, Bryant told police about O'Neal's alleged history of payments to women after detectives had stopped recording Bryant's conversation. The report said Detective Doug Winters still noted the reference to O'Neal in the police report, which is among the sealed documents in the sexual assault criminal case. The published report said Detective Winters wrote, "Bryant made a comment to us about what another teammate does in situations like these. Bryant stated he should have done what Shaq does. Bryant stated that Shaq would pay his women not to say anything. He stated Shaq has paid up to $1 million already for situations like this. He stated he, Bryant, treats women with respect, therefore they shouldn't say anything." Shaquille O'Neal was angered by these allegations. He said, "This whole situation is ridiculous. I'll never hang out with Kobe. I never hung around him. And one last thing, I'm not the only one buying love. He's buying love." He said, no, I misquoted. He says, "I'm not the one buying love. He's buying love." Perry Rogers, O'Neal's agent, said the statements were ridiculous and obscene. Rogers said O'Neal did not know whether Bryant got his information, didn't know where Bryant got his information, and didn't have enough interest to find out. The LA Times said O'Neal was told of Bryant's comments last September, 2 weeks before the opening of Laker training camp, when Bryant prosecution investigators tried but failed to question him. Now, what I saw on television today were a variety of sports commentators saying, "Well, it just shows you what Kobe Bryant's made of. It just shows you what kind of a backstabbing, no-count, egg-sucking, chicken-stealing gutter trash he is," right? Oh, is that right? Because a year ago, when all of this stuff started happening about Kobe Bryant and this chick in Colorado, all I heard these sports guys saying was how Kobe was getting unfairly attacked and he needs to keep his head in the game and we got a season coming up and we sure hope this doesn't affect his season and Kobe just, it's going to be okay. Everybody was standing around a guy holding his hand like you swear to God he had the vapors. Like he was all in a heap. What did I say a year ago?
What did you say?
Well, I said, who's asking you? What I said was, I tell you what I said. I said he was a punk. I thought he was a punk. I don't know whether he raped the woman or not. It's got nothing to do with it. The fact that he would treat his marriage that way spoke volumes to me about the man. And I believe I had the right to comment on the man's character, given the fact that professional athletes are thrust upon us as some kind of an example of what kind of a man to be. I've never bought that. Well, I did when I was a kid, but I haven't bought that in a long time. And I consider one of my jobs to disabuse you of the notion that these guys are anything other than ball players. And I remember when I said, I got all these calls from people saying, "You call Kobe Bryant a punk? I mean, what are you talking about, man? He's the best basketball player that there ever was." I'm like, dude, the guy's a great basketball, but he's a punk. A punk? I mean, you called him a punk? Yeah, that's right. I call him a punk because I'm on the radio and he's way over there and he can't hurt me. I bet you wouldn't say it to his face. Well, no kidding. Yeah. I would give you $1 million, you said it to Kobe's face. Well, yeah, okay, I'll take the million, man. It'll probably take about a half of that to get my face fixed. But nonetheless, that's what he is. Now all of a sudden the truth comes out and everybody's, oh, well, they get it now, uh-huh, yeah. What you guys had, they should have had me on that Fox TV news talking about all that. They won't have me on there at all. The relationship between Brian and O'Neill has been contentious with some stretches of warmth. They coexisted without particular discord last season. Blah, blah, blah. It's a soap opera. I can dig it. I know why people dig. You know, it's a soap opera. It's like Days of Our Lives. You know, you follow the, you know, the rocky road of Shaq and Kobe and how's their love affair coming along, right? But if Kobe said this, and by the way, this was not recorded. This was written down by the detective, so I don't have any idea whether he actually said it or not. Some detective said he said it, and I don't mean any disrespect to the police involved, but the way this case has been handled by the prosecutors, by the cops, by the sheriff's office, by the court, by the entire legal system there in Eagle, Colorado, I mean, you want to drop to one knee and weep as if you just threw an interception going 76 yards the other way. You want to just drop to one knee and weep as if you threw it out of bounds and you had Kobe wide open on a breakaway. On a breakaway slap shot. I think that's the term, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. He is focused. He's totally focused on this preparation and on this debate. Oh, wait a minute. I'm reading the Bush story. So in any event, that's the, you know, see, the truth will out, as the man once said. And what that means is, you can only hide yourself from the truth. You can only keep your eyes shut for so long. Guy acts as if he was born in a barn. He's not just going to behave that way. You don't think because a guy cheats on his wife, he's not going to do it to a good friend, do you? Keep that in mind. A guy that's willing to stick a shank into his wife's back, he's going to do the same thing to a good friend. Why? What makes you so special? Say you're the best friend of some dude, and he's cheating on his wife. He's lying, going out on her, right? What makes you think he isn't going to do the same thing to you one of these days? I mean, you know, as friends would. Now, you stick the knife in your back, steal money from you, talk some kind of crap about you to friends of yours or to other people. I mean, if you're a scumbag, man, you're a scumbag all the way, baby. If you're dishonest, you're dishonest all the way on down the line. And so, we read in Matthew, verse 3, all I got to do is put on one of those smocks, man. I could put on a choir robe and do these things, you know. And so Kobe Bryant is a scumbag.
Yeah.
A man that would cheat on his woman.
All right, Reverend Zay.
I'll tell you right now, I lost a lot of cabbage on that Charlotte game. Because that piece of crap was in a hotel room with a woman.
Yeah.
And Shaq O'Neal. He's down in Miami now. Thank you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, the Phil Hendry version of the Jim Rome Show. That's right. Tackle Time with Jonas Grumby, Gene Klein, professional ass kisser, and Home Building with Chester Shunt. Tomorrow night in our third hour tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. And on Friday, we will be broadcasting 1 hour of our show live from Salt Lake City. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
From Los Angeles, the Jim Rome Show is on the air. Thanks a lot. Hour number two. We have Gene Simmons. You know Gene Simmons? Kiss. Talk about that. Talk some NFL football this hour. If you see the NFL this weekend, you know what I'm talking about. Well, what is up with Green Bay anyway? Mike Sherman is so done there. Gets some calls from people to G-Town. Up G-Bay. Also this hour, we're going to be talking with a man, Al Frabelli. I think you're going to find this interview fascinating. Mr. Frabelli had an encounter with Kobe Bryant. We talk about that. Taking phone calls right now? Or your faxes? Dear Romy, have you seen that part of my skull they didn't find? Sincerely, John Kennedy. Oh, that's gross. Dear Romy, I got a headache. Abe Lincoln. Okay, no more faxes, Travis.
Quit saying that if you don't mean it.
All right, let's go to the calls. Hey, Rufus, what's up?
What's up, Romy? Thanks for the line.
Got it.
Hey, Rom, I don't know if you've seen that call on third down against Tampa Bay. The guy said that he was going to be in.
Rack him. It was outstanding. I want to comment about that. Yeah, I did see the Green Bay or the Tampa Bay game, and there was a call on third down. It was awesome. Okay, we get Gene Simmons on the line now. Gene, how you doing?
Fine.
Gene, I know you're in a band called Kiss. What was that like?
It was nice.
And when you were on stage, did it ever occur to you that you had on makeup and stuff?
Yeah.
And what about the pyrotechnics, Gene? That must have really taken a lot out of your grill. I mean, put all that stuff in your grill, first of all. And walking out there, all that smoke and stuff. Must have been weird, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot. That was outstanding. That was great. Rack me. Okay, in the NFL, Kansas City 0-3. And what is up with the 49ers 0-3? Dennis Erickson. I mean, I'm trying to figure out why he ever left Seattle. Did he just find out that grunge was dead? Then he go down and see if the San Francisco Sound is still alive? Go to T-Buzz. Hey, Buzz, what's up?
Hey, Romy, does Travis and Stu kiss in the studio? They sound like sissy.
Racking. Let's get on the line now, Alf Rebelli. Alf, you had an encounter with Kobe Bryant, that right?
Well, that's right, Romy. I had an encounter with Mr. Bryant outside of my sandwich shop a year ago.
And can you tell me what that was about?
What happened basically was this, Romy. Mr. Bryant came in to my store. I was very, very excited. I said that I would enjoy very deeply and very sincerely if he would sign an autograph for me. And he said, sure, but he wanted the sandwich for free. And I said, well, no, sir, I cannot do the sandwich for free. At which time he bent me over a display of pretzels and made love to me without my consent. So that's it.
Rack me. What's up with Mia Hamm? She got that new children book? What a babe. See the rack on her? Scary. Mia Hamm's rack. Scary.
Well, what about Kobe Bryant making love to me over a rack of pretzels without my permission?
The Jim Rome Show. We'll be right back.
Actually, I meant to say savvy, not scary. Check out the rack on Mia Hamm. You savvy? Hour number three coming up. Barry Bonds. Bobby Bonds. Gary U.S. Bonds. And also, we're talking the entire wood shop at San Quentin. All the guys in the license plate shop. Find out who they're picking this weekend. Pro football. And,
Hey, Romy, are you sloppy with your drink or something?
All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. What a sick and twisted segment that always is. Have you seen the rack on Mia Hamm? Rack me. Rack me. All right, there goes the Romster, and this is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Say friends, just in time for the debates, why not have your Steve Bozell t-shirt? That's right. Steve Bozell for president, 2004. You've heard of Alfred E. Newman running for president. Why, even Mickey Mouse. But only Steve Bozell has a slogan you can relate to. Vote for me or I'll sue you. The Steve Bozell t-shirts come... I'm not reading this. I'm just making it sound like I'm reading it. The Steve Bozell t-shirts come in small, medium, large, extra large, treble, double extra large, all kind of crap. You can cut the back out of it and just drape it over the front of you. So if you're really fat, people don't even have to see the back of you, do they? It looks like we have the extra, extra, extra large. Order it from our website, www.philhenryshow.com. That is our souvenir shop on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. And remember, we take all that Visa, MasterCard crap, or I think we take Visa and MasterCard. And, you know, you could make it into a wife beater if you'd like. Cut out the sleeves. You're walking around with Steve Bozell for president. You got a big bottle of Colt. You got some kind of a tall boy of Coors, maybe a little bit of that Bud malt liquor. And you got the wife beater on. It says Steve Bozell for president. You're sitting out on a stoop or something. You got a car parked in the driveway. Now you're really styling. Word. Yeah, that's the Steve Bozell t-shirt, Steve Bozell for president, and you get it at our website, www.philhenryshow.com. All right, just a couple of looks at the news, and I see, aha! Well, in anticipation of the debates, there was a story here. It's another one of these stories that, again, if this don't make sense to you, then you shouldn't vote. John Kerry says Bush broke his promise on oil. Democratic Senator John Kerry said Wednesday the $50 barrel price of oil reflects a broken promise of President Bush that will hurt average Americans. Bush said that Iraqi oil would pay for the war, but we know that those oil pipes are being blown up, Kerry said. Now remember that John Kerry also said that President Bush had a deal with the Saudis to lower the price of oil before the elections. What happened to that? Now Senator Kerry is saying that Bush broke his promise. What, he broke his promise that he was going to talk to the Saudis to have the price lowered in time for the elections? Senator Kerry has made so many conflicting statements about the war in Iraq that he has finally admitted to it. He said that he admits clumsy words on Iraq. On the eve of a foreign policy debate with President Bush, Democratic Senator John Kerry acknowledged that his explanation of why he voted in favor of additional funding for the war in Iraq before voting against it was one of those inarticulate moments in the campaign. He ultimately voted against providing $87 billion for military operations, although he initially supported the appropriation when it was to be funded. Kerry said he ended up voting against the final version of the bill in the Senate as a protest over its funding, which included no-bid contracts. By the way, Senator Kerry is also the man who said that our troops are not properly equipped. He voted against funding the war in Iraq. This guy is so consistent, I have no doubt in my mind he will be elected the next president of the United States, without any question whatsoever in my mind. This cat has said so many things, so many interesting things, none of which add up to a hill of snot. I think this guy is a shoe-in. I think it'll be a landslide. Kerry and Edwards. Oh, baby. Oh. Oh, well. You know, we've survived worse. Kerry rejected the president's assertion that he would prefer that Saddam Hussein still be in power in Iraq and repeated his contention Mr. Bush had misled the nation about the nature of the war. La, la, la. We should not have gone to war knowing the information that we know today. Even though he voted for us to go to war. Knowing there was no imminent threat to America, knowing there were no weapons, knowing this, knowing that, we shouldn't have... Then how come you voted for it? Oh, my God. Kerry voted to authorize Mr. Bush to use force. I'm sure... I don't have time to read all of this. I'm sure he's got an excuse for that. Well, I did, but then President... I know, Bush lied to everybody, including Kerry. All right, coming up, Tackle Time with Jonas Grumby and Gene Klein, professional ass-kisser. Tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley in our third and final hour... On Friday night, we broadcast an hour live from Salt Lake City. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Man, the news today is just, like, really weird. In other words, there's some days I can sort of move past it. We'll just do the show. And we have a number of things to do this evening. But the headlines is like one dumb thing. It's like a dumb parade. Kerry admits clumsy words on Iraq. Now, the cat trying to clarify it, he was even more confusing. He says, I would not have gone to war against Iraq, but I would have voted for the use of force. Is this guy, this cat can't be for real. He's going to get elected without question. Now, here's Green Day. Remember them? One of the most boring bands in history. And they're doing a rock opera. Gee, that's original. And... they're lambasting President Bush. Well, now that's what I call taking a really courageous stand. Although there isn't anything in the story here from myway.com that is anything negative about Bush. It just says the, you know, the website claims that's what they're doing, lambasting President Bush. You know what? Like the most, the single most boring and sort of common thing to do these days is the bust on Bush. I mean, what kind of originality does it take to do that? Everybody does. All the musicians. Oh, you guys are like, what are you guys, in a club or something? But because you play rock and roll, you have to also qualify for the A-hole of America Club? Is that what you got to do? It's like Springsteen, who, you know, I've loved Bruce Springsteen's music for years, and then he had to open his mouth about the election, and now I realize just how stupid he is. I mean, he really is. And, you know, in all honesty, Bruce Springsteen is a great poet, but he's got about as much in common with the common gas jockey and the dude that works in a liquor store and a guy that drives a bottled water truck as Edward Kennedy. That guy hasn't been around a gas station other than to pull in a limo and maybe walk in and get a pack of cigarettes and get the guy behind the counter to go, oh, boss, oh, yeah, Bruce, hey, man, hey, you know, slap him on his leather jacketed back, and then he crawls back into his limo. You ain't seen the inside of a freaking lube bay, Jim, since, I don't know, the last time you and Patty decided to take a vacation. I don't know. And then here comes Green Day. You know, a band that, one of these groups that poses. In other words, there are truly original artists and truly, you know, iconoclastic artists. And this is what I call these posing bands. In other words, there was that group that the teenagers wanted to think was really hip because they wanted to feel as if they were iconoclasts too, but because they don't really attend too much class and can't really put an English sentence together, and they're too stupid to really know what refined satire or political comment is, so they embrace bands like Green Day, which is, you know, like, just English 101 sophomore year as you can get, right? And then, of course, they come out with a big original comment. Bush sucks. Hey, all right, man. You guys are just spitting fire, baby. This big club all these people are in. Hi, I'm Bruce Springsteen. And I'm Billy Joe Armstrong. And by the way, I'm not wearing pants still. And hi, I'm whoever the hell I am. Hi, I'm another rock star. Hi, I'm another rock star. And we all think President Bush is bad for our planet. President Bush took us to war in Iraq, and the poor people of Iraq have had to suffer. Michael Moore taught us that the poor people of Iraq were flying kites and drinking strawberry milkshakes when all of a sudden the death grenades of America began to rain around them. But we can help. We can help the people of Iraq by pulling our troops out and leaving them to warlords and road warriors. Leave them to their road warrior future, pull our troops out of Iraq, and just let them all rot in hell. Oh, excuse me, we can use the United Nations. Yeah, that's right. The United Nations will really help the people of Iraq, just like they did when Saddam was there with that oil for food. Yeah, that money really got to those folks, didn't it? Oh, my God. If... You check out that oil for food program, the only hope that the Iraqi people have got is the United States, man. Because the UN was stealing money from them for 15 years. Anyway, I digress. So Green Day has an album, it's called American Idiot, and it's, I guess it's Billy Joe's life story or something, like he's a moron. One thing about Green Day, they write songs about being a dumb, stupid teenager watching reality TV and Viagra commercials. Why? Because that's what they are. Just dumbasses who got all their education through Clash records. Yeah, nice going, man. Well, you know what? And this cat, these other things, that this is what I stand against in art. I like to consider myself to be an artist of sorts, okay? I do little funny voices and stuff on the radio. One thing that I cannot stand about artists is when they start talking about how they teach people. Man, you know, there's one thing, I don't like the Nazis, but there is one thing that a Nazi once said that I kind of relate to. There's a guy by the name of Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister for the Nazis, and he said, when I hear someone speak of culture, I release the safety on my revolver. And when I hear an artist talk about teaching people, man, I want to pull a Luger. What are you going to teach, dude? Just play your music and let me dance and shut up. Just like I dug Tommy, the rock opera, the original rock opera Tommy, to this day I can't tell you what it's about. I like the music. It's a blind boy who played, well, whatever. Yeah, he played pinball. It's really great. Yeah, it's very autobiographical. Pete Townsend, he's a freaking child molester.
Well, how dare you say that about The Who? They're one of the most seminal band. Seminal?
I know what that word means.
All right, now we have for you, Vernon, who? Oh, Lloyd Bonafide. A gentleman called in. He's an elderly gentleman, lives on a street in Alhambra. And he says, well, there's a senior citizen who moved in across the street who's single. And he, not only that, is he a single senior citizen. He drives a Corvette. Not only that, he has gym equipment in his garage. He's going to stir up all the old ladies on the street, says Lloyd.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I have a comment. This is the United States of America, the land of freedom.
Holy
people come
geez.
Here to have
here,
the
Natasha?
Freedom. And hey. The men, I respect the men of 60 years old, active gym, Corvette,
hey, let
having
me ask
fun.
Sonia, where do you count Dracula?
Maybe you should learn how to have a good
to
time.
Hold on, Sonia. What did you say, Lloyd?
Well, she won't listen to me. I fought for this country in Korea, and this the Bride of Frankenstein here is telling me...
What is the Bride of Frankenstein supposed to mean? Where are you from, Sonia? From Russia?
No, I born in Egypt. I raised in Africa. I married an American.
Like, that,
I married an American, and
yeah.
I live in the United States for 30 years, and I love the country because of my freedom.
So, Sonia, you're saying just shut the door and mind your own business.
Definitely.
As opposed to...
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. You're taking the side of King Tut's sister here over me?
I'm not taking no side. You're sticking your nose in everybody's business because you're afraid to lose your wife. So a handsome man working and having a good time and try to be in shape.
Would you do me a favor and just say the following words? 3 tonne of leaves is all you need to reactivate the mummy. Go ahead.
What are you trying to do now?
Don't you know what tonne of leaves are?
I come to this country
because
I love this country and I marry one. I don't need an idiot like you to tell me what to do.
No, I'm an idiot. I fought for this country in Korea against a bunch of Egyptians.
I respect that.
All right, that's good. Yeah.
That's a different story.
Nobody is disrespecting that. What we're saying, Lloyd, is this country, you don't go over and weld a guy's garage door shut because he's got gym equipment. And
can't you just say the tonne of leaves will bring, you know...
What's with the tonne of leaves, man?
It's the movie The Mummy, for God's sake. Oh, God, she sounds just like that old lady in The Mummy.
I think Sonia, you sound a little bit more like the gypsy lady in the movie, the Wolfman movie.
Yeah, there you go. Say that whole deal about even a man who's good and says his prayers at night can become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the moon is full and bright. Can you do that?
That guy should learn how to have fun.
Freaking nuts.
He should have a good time and live life and enjoy what is left of his life.
Hey, let me ask you something, Sonia.
And learn how to get along.
When you lived
people.
In Egypt, Sonia, did you carry a basket on your head, or did you, you know, how does that work?
You know what, Mr. Bonafide, all of us...
You don't need to insult nobody.
I'm not insulting. I want to know what
you need. You need to get educated, and you need... I've been around the world, 36 countries around the world.
You've traveled a lot,
this is the land I love.
I want to ask a question
America,
to the host. Why are
the
you
land of opportunity and freedom.
Okay,
you should learn what the United States means.
I want to ask the host a question, if I could, because I'm the guest, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you interviewing Cleopatra here, or what's going on?
Sir, I am talking to my callers, and your smart-ass remarks...
You calling me a smart-ass? I got a guy across the street. My wife wants to vibrate in his Corvette. And you got a lady on the line here who, you know, give her half a chance, she's going to turn a man into a werewolf. Do you know how to play the flute to make the snake come out of the basket, that kind of a deal?
All right, Sonia, thank you for your call, because now what he's doing is he's just being a smart-ass. I think you made some very good points.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
You're very kind.
You know, that tears it right there.
What?
The fact that you're being nice to some lady who probably gave a guy some kind of a potion, turned him into a wild animal.
Hello.
Give me the phone back.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Yes. Who's this?
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Give me the phone back. I'm going to get the gypsy.
I'm sorry. Is this the Phil Radio Show?
Yes.
He is. That man is one of our patients.
I thought he was a guy that,
No, he called all the radio show. He called John and Tan and all that mess.
And the gypsy ladies.
Not the gypsy ladies. I got your gypsy ladies swinging. So I'm very sorry, sir. And,
This is the Phil Henry Show?
Yes. He got out of our day room and got over to the payphone. And so we gave him a quarter. You want to go get a paper? I said, well, here's a quarter. You go get a paper. It turned out...
I want my candy sticks and my fancy robe. And the gypsy woman's going to turn me into a werewolf.
The phone, or I'm gonna spank the bad boy.
No, ma'am.
Hold on. I'll spank the bad boy.
Oh, please, in the name of everything holy.
Ow! it hurts good.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry, we love your program.
Baba Booey.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Right, now... Coming up, we have Gene Klein, professional ass kisser. As we continue our program, remember tomorrow night in our third hour, Bobby Dooley. Tomorrow evening, we will also have, you know, post-debate baloney. And let's see, on Friday night, we broadcast live from Salt Lake City. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right. Go ahead, bud. Bring him in.
Hey, Mr. Klein. Come on in.
Mr. Klein, have a seat, and we'll roll the music for you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I'm Gene Klein. Welcome to Gene Klein, Professional Ass Kisser. How to kiss ass at work is almost as important as how to do your ordinary job, perhaps even more important. How do you kiss ass? Well, it says a lot about the man or the woman. And I'm here to give you some helpful tips on kissing ass and making your way up the corporate ladder with as little work as possible. If your boss, let's say your boss's name is Joe Smith or Jim Smith, you might want to give him a nickname. Approach him in the hall with a matter-of-fact manner and say, hey, coach. Call him Coach. That's a good one. Or say, hey, J.S., how's it hanging? When you say, hey, J.S., it's a familiarity that I think he might either resent violently or embrace. Try this. Hey, J.S., those cufflinks are the bomb. The bomb. Say it with me now. Go ahead, Phil.
You want me to do it?
Yes.
Hey, J.S., those cufflinks are the bomb.
Very good. Bud?
Hey, J.S., those cufflinks are the bomb.
Very good. Another thing you can do, you come into his office full of humility and say he just had a baby. You come in with a gift-wrapped teddy bear and you just say, hey, J.S., congrats, it's for the baby. You up for a drink? Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, J.S., congrats, it's just for the baby. You up for a drink?
Bud?
Hey, J.S., congrats. You up for a baby?
No, are you up for a drink?
Baby?
He's doing it on purpose.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he does that all the time.
The other thing you do is if he ever expresses frustration with certain situations, always validate him. You can say things like, you know, I know what you mean about the marketing department. It's been a frustration for a long time. Thank God you're finally saying something about it.
Huh? You want me to say that?
No. Another great way to ass kiss, get his wife and your wife together. That's a sure way for you to forever insinuate yourself into his life, especially if the women hit it off. And finally, when all else fails, the best way to ass kiss is to simply say to him, J.S., I'm very much in love with you. I'm very, very deeply in love with you. How's he going to fire you? It would be discrimination against a gay guy. I'm Gene Klein, professional ass kisser.
Hey, J.S., I'm in love with you.
Very good, bud. Thank you, Mr. Henry, for the time.
Are you paying for this airtime or something?
Yes. Where do I leave the check?
You just give it to me.
Wait a second. Wait up. Turn that off. You're selling airtime on my show?
Well, just a few segments here and there.
I thought I was supposed to have this guy Gene Klein ass kisser on, and you got paid?
Sure. Girls gotta make a living. Hey, Phil, I'm very much in love with you.
Ow! Tell me you're in love with me. 1-800-449-8686. Gene Klein, professional ass kisser. That's great. What did I say with,
Hey, PH, I'm in love with you.
Will you shut up, man? Because I will fire you, and I don't care if you sue me for discriminating against a gay guy.
That's discrimination against a homosexual.
Jesus, you're a freak, dude. One of the things that I think is interesting are the... Is this the guy from... Are you kidding? Christian's called back? Christian!
Hello, Mr. Henry.
How are you?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
This is Christian Lee, folks. He's a homeless guy, lives in New York. You were paid $50 by the Kerry campaign to vote for Senator Kerry, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And you're going to do that?
Yes, sir. I'm going to try and do that. I'm trying to do that on Election Day. Yes, sir.
You're going to try and do. You got to do it if they paid you $50. Did you register?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did. But I've only called back and tell you that that I want you. I took your advice yesterday, and I want to look for a job, and I want to try and get my you know, on the right foot. And I just want to thank you for putting me on your program and talking to me in a very respectful way that you did. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're certainly welcome. So you're going out. You're trying to get a job. You haven't spent that all that $50, have you?
No, sir. I've not. As of yet, spent all that $50. No, sir.
Okay. Where are you looking for a job?
With the New York Yankee organization. I'm going to interview with the New York Yankee organization.
You seriously? What are you going to do? That sounds like a fun job. What are you going to do?
They advertise for a color commentator and so on. Hopefully, I get the job.
Well, that is a broadcast. That's a broadcast job, right? Was it the Yankee radio booth?
Yes, sir. I believe it is. Yes, sir.
Well, what makes you? Why do you think you're qualified for that?
Well, I've never done a broadcast, but I am colored. And
they don't mean a colored commentator. They mean a color commentator.
Bababooey.
1-800-449-8. I'm going to work for the Yankees as a colored commentator. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Chester Shunt's home building is on this hour. We'll find out how to build something with Chester Shunt. He's always working away there in his backyard, whistling away, just whistling a tune and enjoying constructing something of some kind of use. Like last week, what was it? Build your own home out of animal droppings, I think it was. So that's something, it's a skill that we can all use. We also have tomorrow night Bobby Dooley in our third hour, post-debate baloney. On Friday night, we broadcast live for an hour, for 1 hour from Salt Lake City. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. I want to tell you the best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD is on its way, Fahrenheit 711. You're not going to want to miss this one. It's a two CD set, and it will include this year, for the first time ever, not only a CD of phone calls, but a separate CD of our skits and different bits that we do apart from the phone call segments that we do. So you'll get, we think, a more well-rounded view of the kind of garbage that we do on our show. It's called Fahrenheit 711. It is our new Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD, and it's going to be available soon. Not available now, and I don't think you can place advance orders. One thing you can do, if you don't have a CD from the set that we've done so far and you'd like to pick one up, you can certainly log on to our website, go to our souvenir shop, and all of them are available through our link with my friend's place. More news with the first presidential debate Thursday. Television networks plan to ignore an attempt by the Bush and Kerry campaigns to stage manage the event by dictating which camera shots they can or cannot use. The networks object to a provision in the debate agreement between the two candidates that says they cannot show a reaction shot of Democrat John Kerry when President Bush is speaking, or vice versa. The campaigns have agreed to this, CNN General Manager Prince L. Hare said. We haven't. We have access to these cameras, and we're going to, as we would with any news event, decide which is the best way to broadcast this. A producer in the booth will make those determinations, not some people in the campaign. Networks are also reluctant to agree to rules that restrict what kind of camera shots they can offer of the audience at the four upcoming debates. Three for Kerry and Bush and one for the vice presidential debates. The campaign signed a detailed 32-page agreement on how the debates are to be conducted. One of the reasons why the campaigns agreed to this, knowing how some people respond to style over substance, and in a lot of ways it's kind of a noble attempt to get people to stick to the point of what a debate really should be about, and that's a candidate's grasp of the issues and how he would deal with any one particular problem facing the country, is they want to avoid people's knee-jerk tendency to see a guy smirk at the wrong time, or someone with a finger shoved up their nose, or somebody cleaning earwax, and take that to mean they're bored or are otherwise reacting negatively to something a candidate said. Believe it or not, some people are that simple-minded. And why show it anyway? Is it about the audience, or is it about the candidates? Is it about what the candidates are saying? Now, the American people have said so many times, I wish they'd just get back to the issues and stop with all of this sniping and all of this. Well, if they really believe that, then the American people will listen to what's being said and won't necessarily respond to CNN's attempt to color how this thing should be seen. And that's what that is. I mean, some guy named Prince L. Hare, number one, I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw him into a hurricane. I mean, Prince L. Hare, is that the cat's name? Some gay blade from Jamaica trying to tell me what I'm going to... Look, pal, I want to see the president, but you want to show the audience, and I know what you're going to do, man. You're going to show some guy picking his nose, pulling a goblin from nostril number three, because Bush said something that you think is lame, and you want to make sure that everybody thinks it's lame, too. Are you guys kidding or what? Don't you realize that by this time, but most people, most grown-up people understand what it is you cats are involved in, which is not just making the news, not just reporting the news, it's making the news. You know, these guys, we're providing all the network's coverage, and we're not going to follow directions from outside sources, said Fox News Channel spokesman. NBC said it wants to show the debate, and we'll use pictures as we see fit. See, all of these guys still, they're under the illusion they're still news people. They've proven that they're not. By the way, it's day, what is it? It's day 16. Dan Rather still is working. This campaign is going to, in my memory, go down as the single most vicious, not in terms of personal characterization, not in terms of attacking someone's character, in terms of the slander, of the out-and-out lies that have been attempted to be portrayed as truth. I've never seen it before in my life, and I've never seen television news make a bigger effort to try to influence the outcome of an election than this election. And I've never seen the Hollywood lobby get more involved in actually trying to, even through defamation and slander, trying to influence people's vote. It was the entire Hollywood lobby that got behind Fahrenheit 9/11. It's the entire Hollywood lobby, basically, that gets behind all of this, you know, dubious reporting that's being done. These documents that even today CBS won't say, well, they're not forged. They're just, they look a little suspect. I mean, since when are documents done with crayon, man?
Well, you know, I've seen it done.
When, man? The U.S. Army never used crayon.
Well, it's back when, you know, they were out of ink. I don't know.
I've never seen a candidate be supported more in terms of you know, his negative appeal, as in a John Kerry, where he doesn't represent anything, but people would rather vote for him because they, quote, hate Bush. I mean, hate Bush, right? Now, why do they hate him? They couldn't tell you why. People really can't tell you why they hate Bush. No grown-up with a college education can tell you why they hate Bush. I can get plenty of people to tell me who have no grasp of information, news, current event, or history. I could get a lot of people without any grasp of that stuff to tell me why they hate Bush. I can't get anybody who has passed a third-grade education to give me a really articulate reason. I mean, a real articulate reason as to why they hate Bush. They keep coming back with the same stuff about how there was no reason to go to war in Iraq. Basically, when you say that, you're saying this. I don't understand the nature of terrorism. I don't understand the nature of the enemy that we face. Not only that, when I talk like this, everybody immediately assumes, oh, it's some kind of a right-wing show, huh? Right-wing? I mean, right-wing. Why? Because I happen to stand up for, you know, defending the country? I mean, I'm a Democrat. It's like what Zell Miller said in front of the convention. Since when did Democrats not fight tyranny? We used to. I'm looking forward to this election being over with for one reason. I can't wait for the Democratic Party to get back to doing something that it knows how to do, which is like, you know, refocus itself, get back to the principles that it used to represent, and get itself out from the clutches of the Hollywood lobby. You know, some cat sitting in a hot tub trying to tell working people what's good for them. Just a bunch of jackasses sitting in hot tubs trying to tell everybody, yeah, we're down with you. Yeah. You got it, man. You know, some dude like Bruce Springsteen, this guy hasn't been, you know, I don't think he's put gas in his own car in probably 20 years. He probably has Clarence do it. Hey, Clarence, you're the black guy. Why don't you go out and, don't let people know that.
You all make me get that gas.
Well, I don't tell anybody.
Yeah, people really knew how you treated me, man.
Oh, I treat you good on stage. I pretend like you're my friend and everything.
Yeah.
Look, you suck as a sax player, but he knows that. I mean, two notes, you know. In 30 years, you know two notes.
Don't mean I got a little gas.
Go get gas in the Corvette now. And while you're out, go get me some of them gummy bears.
That's the third box this week.
I don't care how many I eat. Give me gummy bears. And get Patty some, too. Come on, put on that big grin. Yeah, I like the big toothy grin, and go pump some gas. Then come on back here and practice the three notes you know on your saxophone.
Man, someday I'm going to get you back.
Get me back. Money I pay you?
You getting all royalties?
I get most of the royalties, yeah, but I give you a nice little stipend. Nice even 30 grand a year. 1-800-449-8686. Chester Shunt coming up. The world-famous Phil Henry Show continuing in a moment.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We take you now to a Buddhist monastery somewhere in the north of Japan.
Gong. It signifies our prayers to Shiva and the Buddhist God like that.
Don't hit that freaking gong, man. I was out last night drinking that Tsing Tao. Get off with the gong, man. I got a headache, okay? I got a head like this. Oh, you must find inner peace. I got it with the inner peace, okay?
You must grasp what we are trying to say with the Zen. You American, you are not of us. You must learn to put the Occidental way of thinking behind you and learn to see the harmony of life.
Yeah, okay. Don't do it.
I told that guy, what are you doing? You some kind of a jag-off or something?
Look at man, I said to that guy, hit the gong one more time, I'm gonna belt him.
Well, last night you drank that Mao Tai. Very heavy drink. 200 proof, straight Applejack.
Forget it, I quit. I'm leaving the monastery, man.
Real chicken stuff, you know that?
That's tough. Come out here and pray, man. A guy hitting a gong.
All he's doing is calling lunch.
Oh, great. What's for eating? I'll have a roast beef sandwich. God, I need an Excedrin. What the hell's a guy pray with all of that?
Our way signify that we send prayers to the Universal Spirit in the Lotus Sutra.
Ow! That's right, I got that gong thing out of your hand, didn't I? That mallet. I'll hit you with it the next time. For the love of Buddha, will you pass me the sake? Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Home Building with Chester Shunt. Yeah. Hi there, Mr. Cuddy. Hey, how you doing? Yes, sir. I'm just sanding down this nice piece of eucalyptus wood, Mr. Cuddy.
What's that, Mr. Cudahy? What am I building? Well, Mr. Cudahy, today I thought I'd make a condom. You know, latex condoms that are not biodegradable are the number one cause of whale strangulation. Those latex condoms wind up in the ocean and the porpoises can't breathe and all kinds of nasty stuff. What's that, Mr. Cudahy? Well, yes, you're right. This is eucalyptus wood. What I've got here, I'll just sand it down here and, oh, it makes a nice, real nice natural wood condom. Huh? There we go. How does it work? Well, let me demonstrate. Let me just unzip my pants. Okay. And I'll just slip it on. See, it's just a box hanging there. What is that, Mr. Cudahy? You think I'm a freak and that no wonder your daughter has splinters. You know, you're a real piece of work too, man. Right, Mr. Cudahy? Well, you probably are right. I am a freak. Well, see you next week. Home building with Chester Shunt. One 800 449 8686. Go to is this Alf?
Yeah, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Phil, I was in the supermarket today and they got bottled water. And I said, you know how much money they're getting for bottled water? They're getting a lot of money. Water is more precious than sex. Do you know that or not?
And, well, they're getting a lot of money for water, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting people that stand in line with water. And I said to this guy, what are you doing? Well, he's got himself a big jug of water. I said, holy gee, look at that. And they get top dollar for this water. And when I grew up in Brooklyn, which I grew up in Woodbridge, Brooklyn, which is a ghetto now.
I don't know that part of Brooklyn.
No, you wouldn't. It's the ghetto. Why would you know it? It's not like you're going to go there. And it's nothing like it is now. Everything's more expensive. What's that about, anyway?
It's like inflation, man. I mean,
I used to be able to go to a ball game for 4 cents. Now you know how much it is? $60. That is outrageous. And I used to be able to get my hair cut for a penny, and I could buy a car for 50 cents. Now everything, you know how much a car costs?
Well, yeah, I mean, the better cars cost like 80 grand.
80 grand? You know how many houses I could buy? I could buy 8 million houses for 80 grand when I was a kid. Houses only cost a dollar when I was a kid, you know? But now the whole thing that I don't understand is water thing. Water.
Well, the water kick is, are you sure things were that cheap when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, you could go in and get a beer. You could get a six-pack of beer for a dime. And you could go in, you could get you could buy a whole store filled with bottles of milk and Coca-Cola and everything. You could buy the whole store when I was a kid for only a dollar and a half. Now it costs, you can't even afford it.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Monopoly?
You mean the game Monopoly?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you could buy a house for like $60 then.
Oh, yeah. Well, it could be.
Because I noticed Monopoly, a house still only costs like $150.
Well, you know, that might be, maybe that's it.
Maybe that wasn't the way it was when you were a kid, dude. 80 million houses for $8,000, you know.
Yeah, a hotel's only $200.
Yeah, and Monopoly is pretty El Cheapo.
Yeah. All right, maybe I got that wrong, but water, what is with water?
People are drinking a lot of water. It purifies the system.
Well, what's wrong with milk? What's wrong with a squirt? I love squirt. You know that grapefruit squirt?
Yeah.
Love it. You could drink milk. You could drink squirt. You could drink 7-Up. You can drink. But no, they got to. And they're getting like $10,000 for a six-pack of Perrier. And
no, they're not. It's not that expensive. What are you getting all of this exaggerate?
Oh, my ass. When I was a kid, you could get 2 gallons of Perrier for a penny. I love Tab. You know, I just love Tab. And my wife says, you realize the can is pink, like it's queer, savvy? And I say, I'm not no queer. And she says, well, and now guess what else they got, Phil?
What?
They got flavored water. You know, you got flavored water? And
my wife buys the flavored water, like, from Vons. And
oh, yeah, yeah, but it don't look like it's flavored. See, in other words, you get a bottle of water, and I want to take a drink of water, right? Out of a bottle that my nephew had, and it tastes like lime juice. What's up with that?
Well, it's the way it goes.
I mean, it's just that when I was a kid. I could have bought the whole Budweiser plant for a dime. Now I can't buy it. And what about Mountain Dew? You know, when I was a kid, I used to be able to get a gallon of Mountain Dew. I don't know, it only cost like...
a penny?
Yeah, a penny. And RC Cola...
they didn't have this stuff when you were a kid, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, they did. It only cost a penny for a gallon. And you could drink that. You know, I drank water the other day that was sitting in my car and it tasted like an ashtray because I dropped a butt in it. Savvy? Or maybe someone's butt was in it.
Well, listen, buddy, I know what you mean about water. My wife drinks a lot of it.
Bar 8, savvy?
Would you get rid of this guy and don't have me take any more calls about the old days? Hey, when I was a kid, man, I could buy a whole house for a dime. Talk to some of these old-timers, you swear to God that they weren't aware of a thing called inflation.
Hey, how come it's, a haircut cost like 50 bucks? Why, when I was a kid, it was 50 cents.
First of all, the cat that you're paying to cut your hair now, like, goes to the hair college or something, right? It's a dude that's got a master's degree in hair cutting. The cat you used to go to when you were a kid, that guy was milking cows 3 days before. Savvy? 1-800-449... 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Wow, check this out.
Now, this is, you want some old school thinking? You want some, like, unoriginal thinking? Or maybe it's really original. In fact, this is really original. This is some, now this is what I call groundbreaking, truly innovative, visionary thinking. In order to shore up his support among black Americans, noticing a slip in the polls, Senator Kerry has had Jesse Jackson join the campaign. I got nothing against Jesse Jackson, personally. And a lot of people don't like the guy for a lot of reasons. I got nothing against the cat, but here's what I think is like almost an insult. Hey, you know, we want to get a lot of those blacks. Get that Jackson. Where's he at? That's really what it is. Check that out. Are you kidding me, man? This poor man, Senator Kerry, he's got to fire everybody and start all over again. Fire everyone. Look, we're getting a little slippage here in our support among black Americans. Go out and get Jackson. You know why, don't you? Because every black person will vote for John Kerry because Jesse Jackson has joined his campaign. Because that's kind of the way black folks are viewed. You're all down with Jesse Jackson. You will now vote for Kerry. And you better, or else you're going to get, you're going to be sent to bed without any dinner. Otherwise, we may reintroduce slavery.
I'm John Kerry, and I'd like you to vote for me. As you can see, I have the reverend here.
And I also would like to support Senator Kerry.
See? So, Jesse's on with the, he's on, he's, as you people say, he is, he's straight man. He's really straight. So, let's get with it. Come on. All the blacks, get out there and vote for me.
That's right. I urge my brothers and sisters to please vote for John Kerry. Because George Bush is nothing but a fascist. He's a racist white man. And,
Hey, come on, wake up.
Oh, and another thing.
Never mind, I'll handle it. So as you can see, here he is. He's black, and he's Reverend Jackson, so let's go.
All right, everybody go out. Do what the white man says. He's a Democrat, and they freed us from slavery.
Well, that was actually Republicans that did that.
But I mean, you know what I mean. Abraham Lincoln would be a Democrat if he was alive today, if a Democrat hadn't shot him.
Thank you. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley's going to be on the program tomorrow night, Bobby. And as you know, we are moving you and your husband, Steve Dooley, to the 9 o'clock. Are you in the bathtub, ma'am?
I'm sorry?
Are you taking a bath?
Yeah, I'm soaking.
You're soaking?
Yes, I'm just, we had a kind of a fun, I was doing some tennis, and we did Pilates. I really worked today. I worked hard. I walked for 2 miles with Wendy and Nikki. Then I came back and I did some yoga. I did a little bit of weightlifting with the Teresa, my trainer. And now I'm just soaking. I've got some salts and I got some candles lit.
Okay, so we are going to be talking with you and Steve tomorrow night. The debates will be happening tomorrow evening. Will you guys have a view on the debates?
Yeah, I think we will.
Ooh, that's good, Steve.
I think we will, yeah.
And what... What,
That's
just great, yeah. Excuse me?
What will you, be looking for in the presidential debate?
What did you say?
Is there any way that you can get out of the bathtub or something? Oh, there.
Anyways, I turned it off.
Turned off what?
I just quit splashing around like a child. I think I was being very infantile. Steve was giving me he was just giving me one of those Japanese saliva rubs. Really, Phil, what I'm looking for more than anything else is a debate that encompasses three things. Domestic issues, issues relating to the United States here at home, and what are we going to do domestically? And those three things I think I need to, as a mother, more than anything else as a mother, I want to make sure the president and Senator Kerry deal with, because the children are so very important.
Well, those three things you just mentioned are all the same thing.
What were?
You said you want to know about domestics, how things are going on domestically, and how we're doing domestically.
Anyway.
You getting back to your tub?
Yeah, I got to get to, I'm soaking a little more.
Well, you go ahead and soak. Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show, her and Steve will be on. Will you turn your bathtub off? Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show will be on tomorrow night. And I want to also remind you guys that we will be running an hour of the Best of Phil Henry for the first hour of our show because the debate will be on. And frankly, we are going to be wanting people... Yes?
No, I have a hangnail. I'm just soaking it.
So we want to remind people to...
Okay, I'm done.
We want to remind people to do pay attention to the debates, and when you do, and you've made up your mind, then please go to a polling place, and although they won't be open, just stand there and wait to vote. It'll be a few weeks on November the 2nd. 1-800-449-8686. Hello?
Welcome to Taco Bell. Can I take your order?
What?
Welcome to Taco Bell. Can I take your order?
I didn't call. This is a radio show.
Okay, welcome to Taco Bell. Can I take your order?
This is a radio show.
Look, I'll come out there and kick your ass, man. Now, do you want it?
This is a freaking radio show, man, and I didn't order anything from Taco Bell. David G. Hall, a vice president of syndication, now joins us on our program. You believe in half of the stuff that's going on?
Well, it's what you do in a talk radio program, Phil. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. I wanted to call in, though, and I wanted to say to you that you and I have had some rough going here lately. I know I've called your program, and I have read you the Riot Act and a few things.
Well, I guess it's business.
It is business. But I want you to know, Phil, I want your audience to know how much I respect you and how much I think of you personally. And I want you to come over to the house on Saturday. And if you wouldn't mind.
I would love that.
How's 7 o'clock? Is that good?
7 o'clock would be great.
All right. I'd love you to come on over. Julie and I will be home about 11. And I'd like the kids to be in bed by 10:30. And go ahead.
Are you inviting me over to the...
Yeah, I'm inviting you over to babysit. How do you think this is, anyway?
How many kids have you got, man?
How do you like that? I thought I only had two. I guess I got another one. There's three. One, two, three. Yeah, three.
All right, so I'm going to be over at David's house babysitting. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
866-THE-PHIL-HENRY-SHOW. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Tomorrow night we'll have, of course, the Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley segment. We'll have a little post-debate discussion. You know, not a lot. It's not going to be very heavy. It'll probably involve a number of frequent callers to the show, like Pastor William Renick and that one guy who talks with a lisp. I forget his name. Oh, Dr. Jim Sadler. So just a lot of people that don't know anything to join with all the other people that don't know anything talking about the debates and who won and who didn't. That ought to be a hoot and a half. Do you, when you guys watch these debates, do you know who won, or do you have to wait for somebody to tell you? If you have to wait for somebody to tell you, then you did. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just telling you. If you have to wait for someone to tell you who won the debate, then you didn't know what was going on, man. You might as well have just been watching. You should have been watching poker over on ESPN. You should have been watching the Travel Channel, watching World Championship Poker or something. Just don't even watch. If you got to wait for some. Oh, man, I just destroyed my computer. $18,000 just went on the floor there. No. I just hit my computer keyboard. Nah, it's fine, Chris. It's nothing that MIS can't fix. And by the way, we need a new couple of machines anyway, so what better way to get them than for me to put my boot right through the monitor? All right. honest to God, if you got to wait for the guy to come on,
well, it's very clear to me that the president flumfered, and he didn't look very sure of himself.
These guys that get on, and they do that post-mortem, and, oh, I know what it was. Who was the cat? They didn't dig the Bush twins at the convention. If you were to listen to those dried-up, old, wrinkled-up, impotent old men they had on CNN and Fox talking about how they didn't dig the Bush twins and how sappy they were, you'd swear to God it was the most embarrassing moment of the convention. As it turned out, it was one of the biggest pluses of that convention in terms of the popularity of the people who were watching it. But to watch these clowns on television, you would have thought it was a bigger disaster than the freaking Lusitania. Those two chicks were hot, man. I mean, who cares what they sounded like? And everybody dug watching them. And then they go to, now let's talk to Fred Barnes, who, by the way, is on Viagra, or at least should be, except for the high blood pressure medicine, which will make his brain explode. Fred, I thought it was embarrassing to see two nubile young women and getting me all excited when I should be thinking about things like budget deficits and Carrie having a beer in a lagoon. Thank you. I mean, whatever. So let me just say it again, and then I'll probably say it about five more times. If you got to wait for the guy to give you the post-mortem on the debate, then you don't know who won. You should already know who won by the time they get to the guys and get their opinion on who won. And I guarantee you it's going to be this. He didn't look like he was comfortable with the facts. He didn't look... When they go to the different post-debate commentators, the men will probably talk about whether the guy had a grasp of the issues, not to say that they know what they're talking about, and the women will all go to, he looked as if he was a little haggard, he looked, you know, this kind of crap. They'll talk about Kerry having a pole up his rear end, they'll talk about Bush having that smirk on his face. They'll talk about Kerry looking wooden. They'll talk about Bush stumbling over his sentence. They'll talk about Kerry flip-flopping and looking nervous. They'll talk about Bush this and that. And they never will talk about whatever the hell it was they're supposed to talk about. I mean, Kerry flip-flopping, that's something they ought to talk about. But whether the guy looks like he's got a pole wedged, what the difference does it make? He's a big, tall, goofy-looking guy. And Bush is a little short, goofy-looking guy. Bush has got that smirk on his kisser. I heard a lady say the other day on TV, he's got the smirk on his kisser he's probably had on his face since he was a kid. It's just his way of kind of, it's the face he puts on the world, so he doesn't look, you know, that nobody hits him. But, you know, the nature of politics is so vicious that people are going to say, oh, yeah, he's smirking. He must think it's funny that people are dying in Iraq. Of course. Like these cats that say he's dishonest. Like these cats that say he's lower than low. That he's evil. I mean, do you realize how stupid you got to be to think things like that? Any more than I believe. I don't believe Senator Kerry's an evil guy. I don't believe that cat dishonored his country in Vietnam. I don't think there's one dishonorable thing about Senator Kerry. Not one. I don't think there's one thing about that man that is dishonorable or dishonest. I think there is just a lot of confused thinking going on there. And personally, this Democrat can't bring himself to vote for that. I just can't do it. It's insane to throw your vote away on something like that. But to think that he's evil? Of course not. I think he's a patriot. I think George Bush is a patriot. I think any guy that gets into that business has got to be a patriot. I mean, why in the hell would anybody want to let themselves in for that garbage? I mean, you go and serve in Washington, D.C. as any kind of a politician, you're automatically assumed to be some kind of a scumbag from way back. So I think anybody that runs for political office on some level, you know, with the odd exception, is a very patriotic person. So I ain't going to listen to these cats. They're going to start telling me that Kerry looks like he's got a pull wedged, or that Bush looks like he's smirking, or Bush is stupid. A, you don't get elected president being stupid. I don't care how stupid you are. You must be stupid if you think that. You do not get elected to president of the United States being stupid. B, if you really want to judge a man because he looks like Fred Munster, you may do that if you so wish. If that's what you want to do with your vote, have at it, baby. Me, I'd really like to listen to what the cats are saying and go on it with that and what I've seen, right? But the last thing that I'm ever going to believe about either one of these guys is that they're scumbags. I would never attribute to Senator Kerry any such thing. And I think this Swift boat crap and this National Guard stuff, the guys that brought that up, man, you cats, you talk about needing a life. Oh, my God. Who's that guy in Texas, that Burkett dude? Hey, dude, why don't you go get laid, man? Seriously. And you guys with the Swift boats? I got your Swift boat. Look, if you don't dig the guy's politics, just say you don't dig his politics. I don't like what he said about the Vietnam guys when he got back, but hey, he says he was quoting what other guys said. Whatever the hell. Look, maybe he's just confused. Maybe he's, you know, honestly believes that what those guys said was true. The fact is, he's running for president. I'm listening to what the guy's saying. What he's saying to me, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to anything. It adds up to this. I am going to say a lot of stuff that sounds like I'm being different from President Bush, but in point of fact, I'm being exactly like him. But I will say that I supported it, but that I didn't. It's a real desperate attempt to have a counterpoint to a very focused point. And my party, the Democratic Party, after this election, I hope we learn. I hope we get rid of every last one of these Hollywood scumbags that have hijacked our party. And we get rid of every last one of these lightweight scumbags and these jackasses that think Democrat means anti-war, no matter what the war. Get them all, pack them in a big freaking bag, and let's all go out and dump them in a lake and have a freaking party afterwards. And let's have working people and small business people and just like the real people take the party back over again, so that in 2008 we can run somebody for president of the United States that we can be proud of, that has a point of view focused, that joined the party for reasons that you and I did, probably because of John Kennedy, because of Franklin Roosevelt, because of Robert Kennedy, because of people that had a single focused idea on what it was to be a Democrat, not a bunch of confused jags in a freaking hot tub out in Malibu. I don't know about you. I'm tired of it, man. I'm just sick and tired of these people. Look what they've done. Look what they've done. Because they got a problem with Bush, they've turned our party into a joke. Freaking joke. Every stupid, idiotic cause, every dumb thing that Republicans reject, we're automatic. We got to embrace. Republicans are in favor of guns, we must be anti-gun. Republicans are in favor of war, we must be anti-war. Republicans are in favor of higher defense spending, we must be against it. Republicans are in favor of no welfare, we have to be in favor. Why can't we just come up with our own? Why do we have to react to everything those guys do, say, think? And the people that are spokespeople for our party are a joke. Who's the guy? Larry David's wife? Barbara Streisand, I got nothing against these people, man. That isn't just so much that they're Democrats. They're leading the bloody party. They're the guys that are out there putting together all the big fundraisers, man. They're the ones that are rubbing elbows with all the guys. They're the major money behind the thing. Where are the cats that are the farmers and the business people and the cops and the lawyers and the firemen and the working people? Where are those people? Where are they represented? And just because your union tells you got to go one way, does that mean you got to go that way? Just because your union says this is the guy? What if we start thinking for ourselves? I'm talking as a Democrat now. I'm telling you, win or lose, we got to get this party out of the hands of these people that have made it a running gag going on many years now. And get it back into the hands of, like, real human beings and the people that know that the Democratic Party is about a synthesis between government and business, not just a bunch of jackasses negatively reacting to anything that Republicans do. And I would respectfully submit to you at this time
that I'm going to leave and go have a beer. I'm now leaving. I'm going directly home, and I'm going to have a greenie. But I will be back tomorrow night. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us tomorrow night, and Friday night live from Salt Lake City, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.